Waffle on FIBA Radio.
The child can hear you, but she don't sure want to come.
Did you go like that?
No, not really.
Did you con...
Did I tell you I got kissed by a ghost once?
That sounds like a song.
He has uncontrollable powers, son!
Hello and welcome to When We Waffle with Laurie Peters. And Cat Fox.
Hello.
I ask you not to continue listening to this podcast. Not only will you lose your mind, but you'll also lose your soul.
I was watching a clip. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hello. This is a Halloween special, so we'll get going. Christopher Lee was being interviewed about the occult, because obviously they were asked all the way through it. And he talks about a book called The Devil is a Gentleman. And he says, I urge you not to read it. Not only will you lose your mind, but you'll also lose your soul. And I don't know why I got all really creeped out when he said it, because for years he's been on that bandwagon. But it was just a really interesting concept. And apparently it is a book.
Oh.
And a lot of people have read it. And a lot of people, when they do go over to the occult, because the power of the mind and the power of the suggestion and all that, like, a lot of people have lost their marbles by going into it. And I wouldn't. I thought about it. I found it on Amazon. And I was going to order it, and then I just thought, nah, don't do it. Because it is like, you know, with the young kids, as soon as you invite things, the power of the mind is so. And I think that's why a lot of the Ouija boards go wrong, and kids are, because your mind is infinitely more powerful. Have you actually really done a Ouija board?
Sorry.
Not a whinging board, a Ouija board.
I wouldn't bother.
Yeah, I've done a Ouija board. A couple of years ago, I did one of those most haunted nights.
Oh, what happens?
So a group of you get together and go to what's meant to be a quite haunted location. This was
quite haunted.
It's quite haunted. Novotel. Location.
Predominantly haunted.
Service station, Novotel.
I don't know how long it's staying for.
Well, it was actually a Malmaison hotel.
Oh, was it?
So it was quite nice. Oh. It's Oxford Prison. And there were some people from Most Haunted that ran it. And you all get to do different things in different rooms. But one of the bits was to do a Ouija board.
All right, okay.
And I thought, I'm going to shit my pants clean off when I start doing this. Because I'm going to be really scared. Had four pairs on, just in case there were any mistakes.
Blimey.
Inside and outside pants.
About a foot taller than anybody else when she was sitting down.
I started doing it, and I channeled my inner Yvette Fielding. I was fucking brilliant. I was like, is there anybody there?
La, 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 la. Swearing the ghost like she does after a bit. Come on, you fuckers, do something!
Yeah.
In a nice way, yeah. I was like, come on, talk to us, will you? For God's sake, freezing.
He didn't all go like,
I can heal this family.
Suddenly you started talking like that.
Speaking in tongues.
I'll need something of her very own. The child can hear you, but she don't sure want to come.
Did you go like that?
No, not really.
Did you contact anybody?
We had quite a few people come through. So it was established.
Hi, my name's Tony.
It was established quite quickly that I was the best Ouija board person.
Oh, right.
Due to my experience of watching Most Haunted. Right. So I did all the calling out. And so, you know when you're on a Ouija board and you see the planchette in the middle or whatever?
Yeah.
And it gets pushed around and you think, oh, yeah, it's been pushed around, isn't it? Book-tick. Honestly, it's not. It just gently goes whichever way it wants to do. And
like air hockey at the amusements.
Yeah.
Out of the fingers!
So although we didn't contact any ghosts that were there in the prison, someone's grandmum came through as we were trying to get, you know, so we were like trying to get prisoners, but instead someone's grandma who died a couple of years ago came through. You're right, Sandra.
Sandra, stop fucking doing that in the top room. It's disgusting. It's only number ones in the top bathroom, you you know.
I've left you a special present in toilet number 3.
It's unflushable.
Yeah, so that was really good. And then the other year we bought your mum a Ouija board, didn't we?
That's weird. Just for her birthday. Yeah. Happy birthday. Yeah. I can't talk to you when you die. Bye.
I think she's used... I think, she has used it once on her own and she said that something came through.
The Butlins manager from 1979.
You said that kid was dynamite. It was, wasn't it?
Yes.
You remember what you promised me? The ever-living life. And endless monorail trips.
Endless life. So, look, I quickly... today we might do a little less ring-ins and we might actually do a little bit more talking. I'm going to go over to Laurie. I'm going to come back to you. We'll probably cut now because we can't think of anything. But, Laurie, the most defining... And it can be proved wrong, but the most time you've been the most scared in your life, right. When was that? Yes, I love these though. You never know what's coming, do you? My mate was in a hole. Do you want me to go to Kat and I'll come back to you?
Yeah, go to Kat because... Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the most vivid time I was most scared, apart from my mum leaving me at a service station when we were on a coach trip.
A9.
Yes.
Fucking don't want to be left there.
But she's like 28 miles down the road. Where's Kat?
Yeah, it was something like that. Anyway, I watched Paranormal Activity. You know when the first film came out?
Which
and it was
brilliant,
all,
yeah.
And everyone was really like, oh my God, it's
the one where their foot is dragged out of the bed, which is the ultimate. And really, it's done incredibly simple, but for some reason, the image is fucking dreadful to go from respite to fucking horror being yanked out of your bed.
And I think the trick with that film was because it was filmed, it felt like on CCTV. Mm-hmm. So they didn't know what was going on. They were asleep, weren't they? And that was the really scary bit. So they were in it and they didn't know what was happening. Anyway, so to do with that particular scene that you're on about,
right.
I was with my friends in Bristol and we watched it and stayed overnight and I woke myself up in the middle of the night punching the side of the bed, thinking that someone was going to come in and drag me out of my bed.
Oh, gosh.
It disturbed me that much. Oh. I was like, punching! Oh, it was just as well I was by myself.
Yeah, your mum's. He just doubled up on the hotel to save money.
Bloody hell, how'd you get out of the bag?
I was very scared. Very scared.
Laurie.
Yes. Okay. The scariest time ever was I was working as a security guard on nights at Stretford Arndale, which is like an old shopping centre. Well, it's falling apart. It's massive. Anyway... I was up in the... it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. No, it weren't. It was 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, right. Thank you for clarifying that.
Well, hang on. No, it's quarter till.
No, it's quarter past two, right. And I thought I'd go up on the roof. Just go up on the roof.
Yeah.
Right, because...
So I'll get on the ladders and I'll go up on the roof and I'm kicking about for a bit. And then I look at my watch and it's 3 o'clock. Time's gone fast. So I thought I'd better go back down into the office and make a check call. Now, a check call is when you call up the HQ and you say, I'm still alive.
Roger, still alive, aren't we?
And I go down and I go into the room. In the room, the headquarter room in the shopping mall, is like a big window and you can see down into the mall. And
are you the only person in that mall?
Only person in this place, right? It's empty, right? No lights are on in the shopping mall. The only lights that are on are in my room. And, you know, you feel like you're being looked upon a bit, you know, because it's that big space out there. You feel like someone's going to look at it. So I walk back down into the office. Lights are on as I left them. But the radio's on. It's just like making... and not the normal radio, the tannoy radio where you go... You know, shoppers, you know that one.
Spillage online.
Yeah, that one. Or there's a lost boy, can someone come and get him? You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. And then it was on, and it was making a noise.
Can the owner start B3912? That is a disabled parking space.
Go on, sorry.
And then he, it was on. It was like... And then I thought, what's that doing on? And then... I started to hear like a little boy, a child talking, like babbling, just talking. It was coming out from the distance, getting closer on the radio. And then it just got really loud and it stopped. And then a voice said, I can see you.
Oh,
like, Christ. And I just froze for about 15 minutes, maybe 20, like, but quite a while. I was just couldn't move, and which is weird because, you know, some people say, oh, I got that scared, I couldn't move. It is that.
Yeah.
So I rang the police, and they said, what seems to be the problem, sir? Like that. And I said, there's a ghost, says it can see me.
Sympathetic.
And then he just laughed at me and then he put the phone down. But then two meat wagons turned up at the shopping mall. They blocked two entrances and they're like, beep, beep. Right, so I went, oh, they have arrived. So I answered the door and they said, right, what seems to be the problem? And walked in about six or seven coppers. And I just thought, one, they sat on their arse doing fuck all because, you know... Or they're just interested to see if it's a ghost or whatever.
Right, yeah.
And I said, look, you know, there's a ghost issue. Someone says they can see me.
There's a ghost issue. Guys, I'm going to fuck around. I'm going to get straight to it. Issue code ghost.
So it goes, where are all your other radios and what did it say to you? And he said he could see me and the radios are in the other room. Right, let's go there, Laurie. So I went over there. He shined his torch into the room and we could see all the CBs were there and accounted for. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, I don't know what that is because, well, he says, it's not that. So I said, right, and he's walking off and he says, anyway, don't ring us again, but good luck with that. And you know the story about the gay guy jumping off the thing? And I was like, what? And he goes, he had his hair cut, which was opposite where I was sat in headquarters. He had his hair cut and he came out and he put a rope round his neck and he jumped off and it got taut and he swung through Radio Rental's window down below and died. And he said, that's...
I don't want to make a joke about this. It's awful.
I know, and then he said, that's the ghost seeing you. See ya. Then they drove off. And
Thanks, police.
And I went back upstairs, and the radio was on.
What do you think, my fringe?
What a suit highlight.
This is a fucking mistake. I think we should have gone onto High Street. Goodbye, crew.
As he swung into Rumbelows, he was
like, oh, hi-fi, 2200 with Dolby.
And anyway, I get on there, and then this little kind of like gay voice kind of like comes up and goes,
oh, God, this is the most politically incorrect one. Go on, yeah.
It goes,
it goes, what?
Yeah, yeah. No, it just started speaking again, like barbled, and then he just said,
I've got a mobile phone, you know, you can give us a ring sometime.
Like that, and then I just unplugged it. I just thought that was the weirdest thing ever. I didn't ring the police again anyway.
No.
They clearly weren't interested. So do you actually think it was this...
I think it was a ghost,
this guy with a bad hairdo.
And I spoke to a bloke about it, and he says, yeah, I see him around.
Really?
Knocking about the shopping mall. Says he sees him in reflections in, like, windows and stuff like that.
Are you sure it's not his own reflection?
Yeah.
Sees himself.
Mm. And he's got a terrible haircut. I mean, like, fucking awful.
It's that you can't...
Yeah, hello.
It's me, Barbara Streisand.
Oh, my God, Barbara Streisand.
I just heard that you were doing this really great podcast, and that this week it's Halloween.
Yeah,
is that right? Now, I was talking to my husband, James Brolin. Do you know him?
Oh, he's gorgeous.
Oh, Jesus Christ, you don't have to tell me every day. I worship at that statue. But he was telling me a really scary story about a time when he took a phone call, and it was a scary person.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really interested. I sort of phased out. I was cooking at the while. And I was sort of like, writing a new song. But it made me think, I'd ring in and have a chat with you guys and see how it's all going. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
guys, and I really love the podcast. It's really beautiful. It's just fantastic. It really is. Now, Laurie, am I right? Are you guys together?
Yeah.
He sounds really proud about that. So I had the same thing with my husband. Now, my husband's red hot, right? I'm not lying, am I?
No.
And every now and again, just to sort of beef things up and make things up, we go out to the local mall. The Ardale Center, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's near where we live. Really strange security guard down there, right about 2:15 to 2:25. Anyway, I just walk about with my husband. Everybody looks at my husband and goes, it makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, mix it up.
Okay.
You should take Laurie out, try and show him off. Take him down the farm shop.
Yeah.
That's where they sell the sausages. Over and over again. Anyway, I just wanted to ring in and say hey.
Aww.
And I might ring in again and say some other stuff. But until then,
Do you still see the Bee Gees?
Yeah, it's all, yeah. On the other day, Barry was round.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got an answering machine message. Yeah. You want me to play that?
Yeah, yeah.
Prove it.
One new message. 1:06 p.m.
Hello, Barbara. I am a woman in love. How are you? Are you well? Listen, I've written some new tracks. I'm a man in love. I'm a child in love. And I'm an elderly person in love. And I just thought that you might want to record it. Anyway, lots of love. Give my love to James. God, he's a good-looking man. And I'll see you later, all right? Bye. I told her, rings me every Thursday. It's really boring. Anyway, Laurie, Kat, I love the podcast. It's amazing. Am I right? I'm not wrong.
Thank you.
It's Tuesday if it's Friday. Okay, I'll speak to you later. Bye.
Bye.
James, that's my drink. Leave it. Yeah, it's clearly labeled on the right. All your shitty stuff.
I've got big expectations for this story, Terry.
It's weird.
Your story.
Go on, Terry. Tell us this story.
Okay. So, I'm a young chap. I'm 18. I don't care, okay? I touched my willy in the dead of night.
Okay.
And is that what's
going on? And that's the horror story. it's at the end of my arm. I'm going to do it. So, it was in America. And it was very late at night and we were kind of lost. And the thing about America is you look at the maps back in the day and you're like, oh, it's only there. And it's not. It's 15 billion miles away. So we pulled into this national park and we went like 3 miles down a dirt track to get to it. And when we got there, it was closed because it's out of season. It's November in California, and of course to them it's freezing cold, so they don't want to go out, and to us it's like an average summer night. So we decided to just camp at the sort of circle that goes into it, where the hut is, where they take all your money when you go in, and we just, you know, where the barrier was. And we got down this barbecue and then we lit a fire and we bought these paraffin logs that you're only supposed to put one on, but we put a load on, and of course the fire burnt up about 12 foot in the sky, and we were just cooking away. My mate was cook burgers and you'd all take a turn eating them. And suddenly over the barrier, one of the trees on its own started shaking.
Ooh.
And I thought, well, it's a raccoon, you know, just something up there having a bit of a fight. And a bus went by.
Oh, man. I'm just getting into that then.
Oh, we'll edit that out.
No, we won't.
And so I look over and I look back to Viv and my mate Mark and I'm like, did you see that? And they were like, no. And then they carried on cooking and then 1,000 hooves, like stampeding hooves, just started. And I instantly was really panicked and went to go back in the van because I thought we were going to have a herd of cattle come through. No one else heard it. And I was like, I can't believe you didn't hear that. And my mate Mark said, you need to key it down, mate, because you're scaring everybody now. Happened again. Now Mark hears it. Mark was hilarious. Mark instantly had a fucking tear in his eye. We did not know what the fuck was going on. Viv's, the guy cooking, still hasn't heard any of it. He thinks we've both gone mad because we've gone to a special place in our scaredy cat thingy. And over the barrier, the tree that was moving starts to move in unison with another tree.
Oh.
So two of them, but with maybe three or four trees between them. So again, we try and rationalise it and say, oh, the raccoons and they're mating or something, and that's what they're showing off. Six trees went in unison, all at the same time, but with other trees in amongst them, and the hooves, I mean, they were coming. And I turned to my mate and I went, whatever it is, it doesn't want us here. And he went, right, yeah, OK, pissed on the bonfire. Through the barbecue, put it on the back, and we drove out. And I remember to this day, he put on a tape of Lenny Kravitz, and he went, do you like Lenny Kravitz, Terry? It's really nice, relaxing music, isn't it? Because he was, like, half crying as we went up the road.
Oh, my God.
And afterwards, I told that story for years and years and years, and then somebody went, it's earth tremors. That's what happens. There'll be, like, the roots will go down and meet a certain thing, and that's why they're all going in unison. And the hooves were falling rocks. And that's what you've got. And I was like, oh, yeah. And it kind of ruined the story. But while it was happening, me and Mark lost our minds. We were like, you get that wonderful thing where you're upset and a tear's rolling down, but it's nothing to do with sorrow or anything. It's just a fucking tear of like, oh, my God, what is happening?
So did Burger Guy eventually
Yeah, he did.
It?
On like the third set of hooves, he stood up. We were all freaked.
The third set of rocks falling down.
Yeah. He was like, okay, let's go. I'm with you. And then there was, like, some people living, like, further up, and I was like, we don't know. They might have a gun. We should, you know, you start rationalising it. We should go. Maybe they won't. That's why I said, whatever it is, it doesn't want us here. But by saying it, I made it infinitely worse, because it's like one of those things in horror movies where they say, don't call us after dark. When the sun's gone down, it's the most nail things in the coffin that you shouldn't say. But while it was happening, we were freaked to shit, had no idea what was going on.
Oh, that's a good story.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that when I was a kid, I was convinced that the Incredible Hulk was outside my bathroom window.
Oh. Dolph Lundgren, was it? Was it? What was his name?
The guy who used to do it had the lisp.
Yeah.
Him. Yeah. He looked strange once you put that wig on. He looked like Andrew Lloyd Webber's cousin.
He was just petrifying, I thought. It was the scariest TV programme ever when I was a kid.
He was so angry.
Because it really stopped me wanting to go to the toilet in the middle of the night when I was a kid, because I was convinced I could see a green light outside. So I used to keep my wheeze in, and then sometimes I'd wet the bed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. There we go. That explains everything.
That was last week.
Lou Ferrigno, yeah.
He was on Celebrity Apprentice, wasn't he, a couple of years ago? It was shite as well. But yeah, look, I'm sorry. I just don't have scary stories.
No, that's fine. I'll take that last one. I'll take that
the
last
Hulk
one.
Or the horse one?
I'll take both of them.
Okay, you can have those.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, Laurie.
Quick one.
Has a quick one.
Has he?
When my nan said to me once, she said, oh, your granddad came back last night.
And is this Crystal granddad?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because after he died, you know, she was still knocking about. And she was in bed. She said, your granddad came back last night. And I said, oh, yeah. And expecting him to have said something, passed on some knowledge or something, like, you know,
be careful with the crystal.
It has uncontrollable powers, son! Oh, you'll be jumping higher than anybody!
So,
I'm off for a run. He still just stands in front of
me. He just stood there with his headband on.
Oh, bloody hell. Oh, I've fallen over. Oh, I'll pick myself up. Oh, I've got a bit of limp now.
And she said, oh, yeah, he got in bed. And I was like, right. She said, oh, yeah, and I knew it was him. I said, what, you didn't turn round there to look at him? So how did you know it was him? She said, well, he got in, and then he just let off a massive fart.
Thank God!
And that was it.
What, for real?
Yeah, she said,
a ghostly fart?
He got in bed, farted, and then she just went, oh, no, that's my
husband. I love you.
Yeah.
Could she tell it was him by the smell
of
it?
Yeah, of course you could.
Proper, yeah.
Pitch and everything. Proper. She could pick him out of a lineup. I started seeing dead people.
What?
In my old... when I was staying in a little flat in Hampstead, I started seeing... I saw a Victorian girl walk into the room and I looked over at her and she went, shh, and she pushed herself up against the door because she walked in, shut the door behind her, and she was hiding and she just disappeared into the... And I was really worried, and in the morning my partner was like, what the fuck was that? That was so weird. And then it happened... I'll try and tell this really quickly. And then it happened when I moved to another place and I woke up and there was a load of people going through my mirror. And I stood up and I looked at all of them perfectly. And my partner again was up in the bed and she, you know, she said, I'm standing there, there's nothing there. And so I knocked the clock off the top of the mirror so they all stopped going through and went back to bed. And she was like, what the hell? I go to sleep and I wake up and a ski lift goes past the window. And I'm like, what? And then I look over and there's a UN soldier standing in the room and he's been shot repeatedly over and over again. He's just reflexing, he's just reacting to every shot. And my mate's really freaked out because now I'm up, Mark again. He's used to this. And I went over and I looked at his beret. I could see panelling on it and I realised it was digital. And it was a UN guard from the game GoldenEye. And the beret was actually... And as I looked round him, I realised he was digitally panelled, all of them. Yeah. And it was something from my mind I'd been recreating because I knew that there wouldn't be... You know, the Victorian thing fitted and really scared me, but I knew a UN soldier in a ski lift in the south of France wasn't really happening. And then I just went, this isn't happening. And I went back to bed and it never, ever happened again. Am I weird?
I think that's fascinating.
Yeah. And that's why since then I've been like really tolerant with people because you are seeing these things. 50% is in your perception. You are. Your brain can do the most amazing things and you do need to help these people. They might be seeing stuff, you know. It doesn't mean that even though it's not there, they still might be seeing it, you know.
Did I tell you I got kissed by a ghost once?
That sounds like a song.
Right, OK, let's go do a phone call and then we're coming straight back to I Was Kissed by a Ghost. It's I Was Kissed by a Ghost by Laurie Peters. It's up five places this week.
Hello, Catch.
Hiya, Ryan.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, of course I can. Luckily, I've got the charger on the mobility scooter, so I just charge the phone up and that's all right. And I'm all up and running. How you doing, girl? You all right?
Yeah, really good. Good.
Yeah, amazing. Thanks for asking. I'm wonderful. Yeah, things are great here. But you can hear the tribe's very excitable because it's the crowning affair of my boy. They're making him chief of the tribe.
Aww.
Well, chief, if you will, because I think he's a demigod and, of course, they think I'm part of my mobility scooter, so they got a sort of skew-whip life. So there's just some sort of, like, induction that they have to do, and we're just doing that now. I'm decked in feathers again. You can hear Mandela up there, hey, flapping away. He's as happy as Larry, and things are going... I mean, I don't think I'll come back. Okay?
Really?
No, I mean, we might have to sort something out. We'll flog it or something, but, no, it's amazing, yeah. Anyway, as you're going up there, the boys just having it. Oh, no. Oh, fucking hell, okay. We've got to do drugs. They're blowing something up his nose. I don't know. Oh, God. No. Mumbo jumbo. Django. No, I don't want any of it. Oh. Kat, I tell you what, Kat, I'm going to have to ring you back on a spiritual phone. Oh, I'm going somewhere. Listen, I'll ring you back. Hello, Kat, can you hear me? I'm in some sort of strange spirit world.
What can you see?
I can just see a beautiful woman. I think it's Barbara. Oh, it is Barbara. Hang on, I'm just going to give her a kiss. Oh, Barbara. Ray. Oh my God. It's Paul Martin from Flogging.
What?
Yeah, it's me, Paul Martin from Flogging. You're in a dream state. You've got to get out of it, Ray. You've got to go to the light.
Really? I can't stay here with you in the world of Flogging.
No, you can't. Even though I'm a professional drummer by trade and a brilliant performer, I'm also a spiritual guide. And you've got to go back. People of the village have cut your boy and they've realised he's not a god. You've got to go back, Ray, to the light.
Oh, bloody hell, Kurt. I'm like floating through this huge spiritual plane. I can see a big what's it. Oh, God, yeah, this is a big mix. Oh, God, I'll tell you what. Oh, God, there's a huge draft excluded. You know those crystals you can put on the thing? Oh, that's weird. Do I go now, Paul Martin? From
Yes, you do, Ray. Into the light.
Bloody hell, the boy's cut. He's bleeding. The whole tribe's gone against us. We've got to get out of here. I grabbed the boy. I put him in my scooter. Get moved. Don't mind that. This is a Flogging. Don't touch the fucking iPad. I've got it right up for. Come in. Bloody hell, there's spears everywhere. Bloody hell, the lot. Mandela, go ahead. See if we can get through. I'm going full pelt on the mobility scooter, but this is a very angry tribe, Cat. I mean, they want blood. They're not happy. They thought he was a god. Turns out he's... Blood's red, innit? It's not blue. He just slightly glows up that white fluorescent. And you sort of get my games completely right. Anyway, I've got to get out of here. Bloody hell, Cat. It's a drop. It's a sheer drop. It's a cliff. They're coming. Is that a helicopter? That's a bloody helicopter, Cat. Yeah. It's just...
Ray! Ray! It's me! Ducky Mandela!
Ducky Mandela from the RAC?
Yeah! I knew something was up when you didn't turn up in Tehran! Come on! I've got a special hook for your mobility...
I've got a special hook for my mobility scooter. Oh, I'll just put it on quick! Oh, my God, I'm getting away, Cat! Ah! Well, listen, I'll ring in next week. But what you've got to do is make sure that you don't overcompensate with carbs. Go and buy yourself one of them Spirella things, you know, which turns vegetables into carbs and stuff like that. And even out with an even layer of protein. Easy for me to say, but I'm getting away from a tribe, aren't I? But I'll tell you what, I'll speak to you next week, Kat. You're right, Dougie. How you doing, young cat? Yeah? Right, yeah, whatever!
So,
So we're back, and all of you will want to hear...
Yeah.
Kissed by a Ghost by Laurie Peters.
So I was working as a security guard again.
Again.
Right? And then I got
spiritual this... security guard. I only security dead thing.
And then I get this job in this kind of like college, and it's an empty college, and it's at night and stuff. Anyway... I try to get my head down like all good security guards.
Yeah. Obviously.
And about 3 a.m, or 2 or something like that.
2:15 or? Go on.
And then I lay on the couch, because there's a couch in this room, and I'm looking out the window, and I'm looking at this street light, and I'm slowly going to sleep, but my eyes haven't closed. I'm still looking, so I think I'm still awake. Because I'm still looking at this streetlight out the window. And then all of a sudden, I feel like someone's coming down on me. Like a weight.
What?
Like a gay ghost again, is it? Don't look at my hair.
Like a kind of weight on my chest and then on my arms. And then all of a sudden, I can't move. But all that's happening in front of me, but I can still see the streetlight outside this window. So there's no obstruction, you know what I mean? And then I feel my lips pushed down like someone's kissing me. And it was a really long kiss, and it was just like... And then it stopped. I didn't want it to stop, really.
I'm just perv. Like, starting ghost perv.
I know.
Touching up the underworld.
And then it just lifted... away, and there was no obstruction to that view of the streetlight, and then that was it. And I was just like, have I just been kissed by a ghost?
I can work it out.
Do you think that, I think I said this to you, do you think that it was a beautiful maiden?
Or
was it a big overweight innkeeper?
From the 19th.
Oh, fucking dirty bastard. Here, get some of that ale down there. Oh, I'll teach you. You got minx on the sofa.
Whoever it was, they liked a man in uniform, I reckon.
I mean, were you aroused by this?
A little, no.
Is a few of those films, though, isn't it? Entity, where she gets... There's a few films where people are raped by ghosts, so there must be, like...
they're called specific things, aren't they? Well, not called specific, but they've got a name, haven't they? That the ghosts that have a little, like, they have it away with
them. Yeah, roundy ghosts.
Yeah. Because some people get into some right trouble with them, don't they?
What, get pregnant?
Oh, ghost baby.
Yeah, she just goes, it's coming! Just goes out the window. Just leans back on the wall and goes, shh.
They'll never stop me.
So, do you reckon it was a woman or a man that kissed you?
I imagined, like, this, like, white gown woman.
Of course it would.
You know, long, lovely hair. You know.
It was like a builder that died there last week.
Yeah, it was built on a grave.
Because my mate was like this. John said to him, I'm going to film you.
Right.
About being a what's it called when you ring up ladies of the night and men of the night?
A prostitute?
It's not a prostitute, but it's got a better name.
Pimp?
No, when you're escort.
Escort.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah, I'm going to film you being escort. And Mike's like, oh, yeah, bloody hell, yeah, that'd be really good. Because in his mind, he's got loads of beautiful women.
Yeah.
And then his nephew said, the reality is you'd be in a service station in a builder's van with your head pressed up against the wall getting bummed to death. We all fucking cried for about half an hour because it's true, isn't it? You have these beautiful... Because we're all, you know, men got ego. They all think, oh, it's going to be full of lovely ladies who will take me to Milan, buy me the latest things. And it was like, you'll just end up in a transit van.
Getting
lay-by.
Rinsed.
Getting destroyed. By Denzel.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, you stupid bitch. That's extra.
Yeah.
So were you... You seem to be quite, like, spiritually tuned, Laurie.
On a channel.
His granddad had a one.
Is that where it's all from, do you think?
The channel.
Granddad's one.
Yeah, granddad's one, I reckon. Granddad's power.
See, that's not really.
Awful one.
Yeah, I saw your granddad last night. He got in the bed with his wand.
Better than a bar, isn't it?
Yeah.
Came all that way just for a guff. My nan had the same thing. You used to, if you could live in a council house, if like in the 50s, 40s, if you looked after old people that were in there and they lived with this old boy and he couldn't get out of bed, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And she heard him in the night downstairs and she came downstairs, iron curlers in her hair and all that. And she said, what are you doing up? And he went, Janine's come to see his wife. And as he said it, the door, the window went bonk, just closed. And my nan went having none of it, and she shit herself. And she turned around, and she ran upstairs, and she jumped over Grandad in the bed and caught the top of his eye with one of her iron curlers and just slashed him across the top. And he's like, you bloody stupid woman! And she was like, there's the poltergeist downstairs. But they had the same thing, because he was bedridden. He couldn't get out of bed.
Aww.
I've just remembered one that... No one will know this, but Carl was telling me one the other day about where the next-door neighbour died, right? And he didn't know that she'd died, but he was in bed and he said that... He was about 10 or something, and he said that there was a wind in the room, like a wind going... And he got under the covers... And he said it was just like, it was really mad. It was like there was a wind in the room and he was like scared. And then it just slowly died down and he just got out of his bed and he ran downstairs to his mum and the door went. And it was next door neighbour come round to say that his wife just died. And could you call the ambulance? And all this shit, I don't know, something. I don't know why they knocked on the door. I don't know why you'd knock on next door neighbour's door. She's dead. You know, I don't know why you do that.
Again. Hello, I'm murdering. Go on, Janine, put on the tea.
Yeah.
Oh, that is really spooky, isn't it?
The spooky story from Carl Pilkington there. Never told anyone.
I think the scariest thing, story that I know, which I think is true, was, you know, that whole Enfield haunting?
Yes. Oh. Which is huge, and The Conjuring 2 is based on it, Enfield hauntings on Sky.
Mental.
We just can't leave it alone. Do you know, it turned out that they were on huge gas pipes or something like that.
What? No.
Is that what turned her voice funny?
Well, I don't know, but This American Life did a huge Halloween special, and they concentrated on a house that was extremely haunted over the years, and then they found out it was on cracked gas pipes, and everything that everybody said was carbon monoxide poisoning, which can make you heavily hallucinate, and everybody was saying they had headaches from the moment. But the way they do the episode's really cool, because they tell the stories first, and you're like, oh, my God.
Mm.
And then somebody...
Was that really?
It wasn't anything really. But then again, you know, it doesn't matter. It's the power of the mind. It's what you can do to twist and turn it that really, you know, your own imagination. Because I used to live in a village, and I used to have to walk home from town. And I've had a whole thing with a woman in white in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, animal feed that got caught in some. But as I walked up to it, I was like, I'm going to have to stop, because this Victorian woman is just beckoning me. And then as I got closer still, because you know what? That's the thing about being in the middle of the countryside at night. There is no light, and you don't realise how much you need it until it's completely gone.
Talking of that countryside, you know, like when you leave the village, you've got the big fields over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Mate of mine was taking his dogs for a walk. He had two greyhounds, two of those wolfhound big things, yeah? And when he lets them off the lead in the fields, they're gone. They're always gone. They just bang, they're off. But one morning, he got up about 4 or 5, and he said it was this really low mist. You couldn't see anything on the field. You couldn't even see in your front of your 5 yards. It was dense, white bog. Mm. He got into the field, and he let the dogs off.
Cliff Richard.
the dogs off, and the dogs didn't go anywhere. They just looked. And he was like, go on, off you go. They didn't do anything. And then he said... Then they pointed, the dogs pointed, as if they were alerted by something. And he said, in the field, he heard a man just like a lunatic, like a kind of like just going mad, right? And then, within a flash of a moment or whatever, the dogs pointed off to somewhere else. And in the other field, the sound had gone over there now, and it was a cackling laugh, really loud. And the dogs didn't go anywhere again. And then it came back into his field laughing. Then he just said, he just turned around and said, you got the fuck out of that.
That's that brilliant thing that I just think so amazing about humans. That, like, again, you don't know what it is, you don't know what the fuck is going on, but you know you want out, no. Gone, and I love it. It's like fucking brilliant. Elizabeth, when you get like comedy horror films, and like, you know, it's always a black guy and
carry
something
on,
out.
Carry
and
on,
and there's a howl, and instantly people go, "I'm leaving." That's what I do.
Yeah.
My dad said when I was a little chap, and he said, "You wouldn't see my ass for dust." And I laughed about it for a week, because he would. You'd turn on the taps, blood would flow out of it, and you go, "Right, I hate this house, bye."
The walls are bleeding.
Even if I bought it, I'd be like, "Right, see ya." And then the credits would roll as you see my car drive off into the distance.
With no further ado, it's part two of my Halloween special. I was on that monorail for what seemed like hours. As I looked out the window, I saw nothing, but I got a cup of coffee, people. Could you tell it's a particularly thick, richy, roasty poop one of mine? I'm a little bit excited. I looked out of the monorail window and saw Cincinnati, a skeleton in town. Nothing but vagrants and trash blowing through the streets. Eventually, the monorail came to a stop at a Nazi train station. I was pulled off severely. I didn't want to go. Get off me, you Nazis. I was taken down corridors, platinum, gold, silver, nickel, bronze? Nah, not sure. Until I came to some huge oak doors, which were flung open by Putin. What are you doing here? I thought something happened to you in part one. I didn't really listen to part one, so I don't caught you. Well, I came here to just, you know, because this is... Well, let me introduce you to Major Nazi.
Hello, Mr. Trump. Greetings and salutations from the Nazi Party.
You?
Yes, me.
You? God damn it, you weren't even a Nazi.
Shut up. Anyway, as you well know, I've started a plot to kill all of humanity. Laced within these adverts is the ancient words of Amun-Ra. Once all of America hear this, they will die. And I will take over fucking nothing. You and your Dobby the House Elf need to take these VHSs and Betamax videos of this awful, witchcrafty Halloween and take them across America. Soon, all of America will be dead, and on this night of Halloween, I will become immortal!
Yeah. It should have been Kenneth Williams.
Shut up!
Who just did that, me or you?
I'm not quite sure.
We took the tapes, and we both left. Pewdie was at a high. God damn it, he's Nazi, you idiot.
Yeah, so? Good guy. Yeah, you seen the uniforms? That's smart, eh? No wonder they forged through Europe. And those spanky letters had them up on the door.
Shut up! I needed some time to think. I couldn't possibly distribute these VHSs. I mean, I'm a big fucking moron. But I don't want the world to die. I want the world to buy my shitty, shoddy shit. Am I right? I've got wrong people.
Well, if we don't do it, he'll kill us.
I've got a better idea. And then my plot was hatched. Which is saying something, because this story is severely lacking. I would retape the tapes, singing the song myself, driving people not to their deaths, but to their distraction with sexuality. So, I went and got a mic. Putin, press record. But what am I going to sing, Putin?
Sing like you sing on Trumpino the Boat. Sing like Chris Rock. You love that guy.
Yeah, he doesn't pull any punches. Fucking whoop. Okay. It doesn't matter on the other side. Take it low, take it high. People want my riches. I kill them, throw them in the ditches. It doesn't matter because it wouldn't glide. Pussy love, pussy bad, pussy. Stop dry retching. It's not that bad. Wow, hey, wow. Ooh. Magical shit started happening. Sparkles started fucking coming out of the wall. I was making pure fucking rock, man. It doesn't matter what you want to do. Take it low, take it high, take it anywhere you want it, but you don't know. Woo, yeah. Build a wall, build a wall, build a wall. Fucking 28 minutes of pure fucking brilliance. Yeah, well, well, it doesn't matter. You don't fucking join it. It doesn't, oh, but just a bit. Yeah, okay. And you try, and you mess all your troops, and you say it's not happening. It doesn't matter. And if the world burns. Yeah, I don't like this. Ooh, let me take over. It's all about consumerism. Build a fucking tower. Ooh, yeah. Fucking synth started playing, fucking beautiful fireworks started happening. This tape was gonna fucking rail. On the night of Halloween, it played, and we were summoned before the Major Nazi.
So, have you done it? Turn the TV on and let's rejoice in the fact that everybody's gonna die.
Yeah, I never quite understand when everybody's gonna die, right? Because you super baddies, because, like, what are you gonna, like, rule over? A hamster?
What am I to?
A masculine hamster or a really dainty, kind of cute hamster that you can put in a script. Shut up! We sat back and we watched the advert. But it was just me singing. Soon, switchboards all over America went wild. People needed to know, where did this beautiful music come from?
You fool! Don't you realize what you've done? You've created something far more evil.
And he started melting because this Halloween story is really fucking weak. I punched him in the willy. I pulled a torch. Bang. So did Putin. Putin spent a little bit too much time on his willy, if I'm correct. About 10.5 minutes. I went and sent a fax to Julie because she wanted to hear back on some stationery that I ordered. I come back. He's still working that chair.
Oh, I love it, man. Fucking Nazi. Get up!
I quickly grabbed him and we run for the monorail. We jumped at the last minute as the whole of Nazi Cincinnati burned. I don't know why, but it just sort of blew up at that point in time. We sunk into each other's arms. Then we fell asleep. We were dizzy out of high. We'd killed a lot of Nazi people, and that to us was golden. I looked at the little Sunday Bander Dobby the house elf puted, and I kissed the top of his bald head, and he said something else in there for fear of plutonium. And that's it. Tune in next week, people, for more amazing stories from me. See you later, you fuck-ups. Happy Halloween!
Real, but it's in that build-up. It's in those institution places, you know, like being a security guard or being like a contractor. Where you have to go in and it is when it's Uncanny Valley, when somewhere that seems quite normal would be full of kids laughing and stuff, when it's all gone and it's all a bit weird, that's when it's all really interesting.
Worked in an empty hospital once as a security guard.
Oh, God.
That was probably one of the
worst gigs.
And I'll tell you what was weirder. I went into this room, right, and it was empty.
And there was a truck in it.
And there was all these empty jars, and you could get up in this big cupboard, there's loads of empty jars. I went to the back of this kind of like, you know, it's huge. I went to the back and I saw one, it was glistening like orangey colour, reddy orangey colour, and it still had embalming fluid in it. Picked it up, 7-month-old kid in it.
Why did you do that?
So I took it back, right, to the office.
7 months and they pickled it.
I know. Well, I'm not going to edit this out. It's too scary.
No, leave it in. It's fine, but it's, like, a bit weird.
Well, it would have been...
Well, fucking,
well, people must have got in some serious shit for leaving that.
It might have been a car accident.
You don't know.
So I took it back, and I thought, before I give it back...
Just stop off at Tesco with it under your arm.
I thought, shall I keep it and put it on the... So I said to it...
So everyone can vom.
Said to my mum, should I bring it back? And we put it on the mantelpiece.
Sorry, like, we've got butlins in the morning, Laura. I don't fucking want to hear about pickled children. It's not Christmas, fuck off.
So I said, all right, then. She said something like, you know, you better let the hospital know so they can come pick it up. And so I thought I'd do a little bit of a still life, did a bit of a drawing of it first, a bit of a sketch.
Only you.
And then I rung them up. And it had been there that long, the embalming fluid had started to evaporate, so half of the head was coming out. It was proper spooky, proper. And then I rang up Manchester Hospital and said, you've forgotten something. And they came round in a black car and went, hello, where is it? Went.
Yeah.
So you stole it?
No, I was going to. I was going to rob it and have it.
But it's my very own on the front of his car.
Just put it there, like, you know they've got those nodding dogs in the back?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like that.
My other car is a hearse.
No, I'll edit that out. It's proper weird, that.
No, leave it in. I like that sort of stuff when they leave stuff behind. Yeah, and they do it a lot with respiration dolls and stuff. And, you know, it causes the huge knock-on effect of somebody seeing a hand out of a ditch. Mm. And it's just like a doll from, you know, a store. And it's like, Jesus, because it is terrible.
You thought we had a ghost cat in... Marlborough.
I think there's a ghost cat that follows around in this house. I've seen cats in this, but then I see cats all the time out the side of my eyes.
All right.
So maybe that is just...
Me too.
It's just like the...
Dreamies.
Really? Is it... I mean, I know we have lots of cats around here, and sometimes some of them are just sat on our roof or sat on the Velux window taunting our cats underneath.
Yeah.
But you're sure these are ghost cats?
I see a black cat now and then, yeah. The corner of my eye, and I see the shape of it, and I turn around, and it's nothing there.
Do you know, when that's one reason I'm not too big up on Christianity, and that when they say that animals can't enter the kingdom of heaven, because do you know what? I mean, lots of love, Grandad, but waiting for me, all my cats I've ever owned.
Oh,
it's like a wet dream, isn't it? Just to get down on the floor and roll just in them all.
Yeah, and all the cat litter. And
hey, why is there a big cat litter? It's a big cat litter tray.
Yeah, that's their heaven, isn't it?
Yeah. Ow, just like,
hey, it's a bit crunchy in here, isn't it?
Oh, I'd still give them all a big squeeze.
Oh, it would be lovely, that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, especially the ones from your kid, from when you were young, you know, that you really adored.
And all the birds that they killed flying around.
Oh, he's always got to ruin it with his red sand.
The darkness.
Well, we won't. We should have put a feeler out. Oh, actually, let's weld this to the other. Oh, no, because it'd be useless. Sorry. I was going to say we could ask the listeners, but they would just send us really long stories and we'd have to reiterate them. It'd be really crap. So maybe next year we'll do some ghost stories from people if they send them in, stuff like that.
Yeah, or record their own and send them to us.
Oh, that'd be ace.
Yeah.
What, sending their own stories?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No just... more than, like, 60 seconds.
Yeah. Don't go like it so was 2:15. It was 2:21. No, fuck it. It was 5:55. Oh, go cares. Stupid story. You're not interested. What sort of ghost would Eamon be? Because he was angry in life. So what happens when he died? He'd be a dady do poltergeist.
I think he'd start like just causing havoc around the house.
Yeah, wouldn't he?
He'd be a poltergeist. He'd smash shit up. Definitely.
He'd be opening the cutlery tray. Slamming it shut.
Who puts the forks where the knives should be, Ruth?
Exactly. Ruth would be there cooking a bit of dinner.
Thinking she's free at long last.
Making herself...
It's like, it's little spoons, big spoons, forks, then knives. Not fucking knives! Forks, spoons, big spoons!
Christ.
Fuck's sake, Ruth, dirty day. Why don't you do your own shit? Just make up fucking shit you want. Just go put the mugs on the third shelf instead of the second shelf.
And...
I woke up Britain. Okay. I'm fucking somebody. You're on my coattails. Who are ye? Who are ye? You're nobody without me.
Ruth's trying to watch a bit of Graham Norton on telly or something.
Just turn over.
Yeah, exactly.
To football.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, day-to-day, here we go, my top football team, day-to-day United. Fucking hope they win the day-to-day cup this year. Fucking third in the day-to-day league. What's the guy to day-to-day? Listen, thank you for listening. Kat, Kat's people.
People! week was hello to Jamie's Life, who's a new follower of ours on Twitter.
Who, what, Jamie's Life?
He's at Jamie's Life. I'm guessing his name's Jamie.
Okay.
Jamie's Life.
Hi, I'm Jamie Life. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Bebop.
Goddamn.
And he told us that he'd swore, and it was quite funny. He said our show's fucking funny, and he's listened to 11 hours on the trot, and I just think that's marvellous.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Thanks.
Anybody else would say mental, but we say brilliant. 10 points.
Brilliant.
10 points. 10 points to day to day.
And also, we just have a quick request because we do all this ourselves. We record it, we edit it, we do the whole shebang. And it would be really interesting or good. It might be an opportunity for someone out there who would like to learn how to edit podcasts. Would you like to get in touch with us get some of these shows done, and it'd be a really good skill to have for your life.
Laurie, what do they need? Just generally, we'll talk to them more as and when people.
You know, if people
logic,
if computer,
brain logic. maybe computer might help. Like for people out there with just pens and pieces of paper, this is, might not be for you.
No, you're going to have logic,
which is a bit of software
for the Mac. I don't think it goes on PC, does
it? I don't know.
No. Could you do it on Cubase or something else? Look, who cares? We're getting bogged down in the details. Please let us know if you would like to help us and get involved in the podcast. We will reward you by paying you 20 million lorry dollars. Yeah. Which can be spent between 12:15 and 12:55 of a Thursday every 6 years. But if you come on board now and you help us out, we will reward you and bring you with us as we become stratospheric.
Yay!
That won't happen. You'll get fired instantly, but we'll edit that out.
You're not allowed to do it whilst you're at work.
Cause yeah, Laurie will bollock him every day on the phone. He'll be like, what are you doing? It rewinds at the start, then you play, then at the end.
You get Eamon Holmes to manage them.
Yeah, like the worst morale ever. Imagine Eamon Holmes in charge of, like,
miserable.
First World War in the trenches. Go over the
top!
Everyone would just go over the top to get away from him. I haven't blown the fucking whistle yet!
Yeah, it's all right. I'm just going.
Ruth, where are you going?
I'm going over the top with them, darling.
It's yeah, just... I'm off to record Loose Women.
Yeah.
You're on your fucking own.
Thank God, for once, you piece of shit.
She just walks, drives off, can still hear him.
We love you. Thank you very much for listening. Take care.
See
ya.
Bye.
Happy
Bye.
Tom Latcham.